The following is a presentation of the All Andy Alford Network right here on Spotify, as you are listening to the plethora of platforms right here on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, Bleaker, and Stitcher. However you listen to our show, wherever you take in our show, thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning into the show tonight. You could always be a part of our show by following us on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as facebook.com/AllAndyAlfred.
Guess who's back?
All Andy Alford.
And a shot at a goal.
24 runs in the span. I'm going to get shut out. Dumbino!
Hit to a home run.
Go home, Jack.
That's way back.
Put some extra relish on my hot dog.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Choo-choo, it's time for All Andy Alfred.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome to the All Andy Alfred podcast. And welcome to golf's premier week. Yes, the Masters has returned to Augusta, Georgia, as the 88th Masters has teed off. After a two-hour rain delay, we are underway, and some of the best golfers in the world on the course, seeing who's going to get the green jacket. But we've been off the air for a long time. We have a repeat as a national champion in college basketball. We have somebody that has finished their story in the world of professional wrestling. The Tigers are on a little bit of a slide as of late. So have the Reds. The Reds are in a slide. The Guardians, okay. Mudhens, sitting around mid-pack. Oh, and did I mention that the Jackets are getting ready to finish the end of the season? And the Walleye are ending the regular season this weekend? Lots to get into. Lots to dive into tonight. Right here on All Andy Alford. And I love you guys. And welcome in to another edition of All Andy Alford right here on your exclusive home for me. And that is with the Spotify Podcast Network, with the All Andy Alford Network. Whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you are listening to us, wherever and whenever you're listening to us, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for tuning into the show tonight to hear what's happening in the sports world, as well as what's happening in my everyday life, as you could be a part of our podcast, as always, by following us on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as facebook.com/AllAndyAlford. Yeah, I'll put that little microphone right there so you can see the poster in the background. Yes. Toledo Reps presents Amadeus by Peter Schaefer. Yours truly going to be a part of the cast of Amadeus. Get your tickets by going to toledorep.org or calling the box office, which is 419-243-9277, to get your tickets. It is running two weekends, which will be next weekend, the 19th, 20th, and the 21st, and then the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. Of April, yours truly on stage yet again to perform. It's been a run with the Christmas Carol last year, and now this with Amadeus, my first actual theater production, not a musical production. It's actual theater production. Looking forward to it. Absolutely looking forward to it. We have a great cast, a great crew. It's gonna be fun. Definitely come and see the show. I highly recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it. So, yeah, Amadeus at the Toledo Rep Theater, April 19th through the 26th. It is the weekends of the 19th, 20th, and 21st, and then the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. Tickets at toledorep.org or 419-243-9277. I had to get that phone number correctly. So definitely come and see Amadeus at the Toledo Rep. But a lot to get into today on the sports show. Of course, we'll recap WrestleMania. We'll also dive into what's happening in Augusta right now with the Masters happening as we speak. Of course, we'll dive onto the Diamond, but look at the Tigers as well as the Reds and the Guardians. Also, we'll dive into of course, the ice with the walleye and the Blue Jackets, as well as the rest of the National Hockey League as well. So welcome into the program. Lots to get into. Let's dive right into it. Let's talk a little bit about what we witnessed on Monday night at in beautiful Arizona as the National Championship basketball game took place, as it was the UConn Huskies taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. And UConn repeating again as champions, and I believe that Hurley is now officially Hall of Fame material when it comes to coaching. I think Dan Hurley's a really good coach. He's done a really good job with this program, and I am ecstatic. I'm surprised that we've gotten a back-to-back champion. The first time we've had that happen since, I think, 2007, if I'm not mistaken. But yes, UConn, the champions of the national basketball of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And it was a good tournament overall. A lot to digest out of this whole tournament itself. Of course, the run that you know there was a lot of good runs. I was surprised with the NC State run. I watched a lot of their games during the ACC tournament. I thought they were the team and get to the Final Four, and then they just, you know, they ran into a Purdue team that's really, really good. I thought that they did a fantastic job. I thought Purdue did a fantastic job. The surprise of Kentucky being out in the first round of the tournament really bothered me a lot, and it cost John Calipari his job, and now John Calipari finds another job very, very quickly at Arkansas. So now he is the new basketball coach at Arkansas. But the dominant run by UConn to get their second straight championship after they beat Zach Edey, who I think is going to be an NBA top-notch guy, and Purdue, I think they're going to be a fantastic run. Edey had 37 points. He was 15 for 25 from field goal stripes, 7 for 10 from free throw line. Tristan Newton for UConn had 20 points, 6 for 13 in the field goal stripes, 6 for 6 at the stripes at the three throw line. So Purdue, you know, you figured that, you know, Purdue was going to play a tough game, and they did. You know, Purdue shot 44% from field goal range, while UConn shot 48.4%. UConn 27.3% of the three-point percentage to Purdue's 14%, 9 turnovers for Purdue to UConn's 8, and 35 rebounds for UConn to Purdue's 28 in the game. So the national champions are the UConn Huskies. And by the way, if you're looking and you're wondering how the final rankings went for the All-Andy Elford Bracket Challenge, it was as follows. Yours truly finishes in second place in the tournament, but does not have none of the teams, nobody clinched and won the lunch. Nobody clinched and won the lunch. Scramble 6-1, which is Tom Joyce, wins the overall tournament with 1,160 points. I finished in second with 1,140 points. So there's that for you. He did not get the tiebreaker to help. He had Arizona and UConn and Houston and Purdue. Houston was out, and Arizona was out, so he does not get the luncheon. I did not get the luncheon correctly either, so nobody gets the lunch. So the lunch stays up for grabs for next year in the Bracket Challenge. And we've seen a great year in basketball, of course. Also, the surprise, too, in the women's side of the game, that, you know, the rating for the women's game was higher than the men's game, which is absolutely surprising by me. Absolutely surprising, not surprising by me, because here's the thing. When you're talking about a tip in this NCAA tournament that tipped off at 9:20 Eastern, 9:20 Eastern, okay, on a Monday night, it's a late tip. Game didn't finish until almost about midnight. With all the intermission, with all the TV breaks and the timeouts and everything, it was almost towards midnight. The women's game, which took place on Sunday on NABC, national television, took place in Cleveland, 3 o'clock tip, $18.5 million. The men's game drew 15.7. That's with it being on a cable network and being on a Monday night. It proved, and it also helped that, you know, Caitlin Clark was on this game, and South Carolina, who's been the dominant team in all of women's college basketball, was on this game. So it was a marquee matchup that everybody wanted to watch, and it was good to see. And I'm very ecstatic for women's sports like that to, you know, get the high ratings, and, you know, it helps out. It helps their game out tremendously. Helps it out tremendously. So congratulations to UConn. Congratulations to South Carolina. And congratulations are in order to the Miami Hurricanes in the women's side, as Trisha Kolob from Toledo gets the call, takes the job, and now is the new head coach of the University of Miami, Miami, Florida women's basketball team. Could that mean that, you know, the dominance that is Toledo basketball head down? Possibly. You know, recruit a lot of those players that played with her are going to be going into the transfer portal to go play with Trisha Kolob. So the question was that the final run that, you know, the final run for, you know, Toledo sports? Because we know that, you know, Daquan Finn's gone for the University of Toledo football team. We know that, so the dominance there is probably going to be lacking. We know that the dominance that is, you know, that the University of Toledo men's team couldn't get the job done in the MAC tournament and then rejects a bid to go to any of the tournament games. That was something. And then you have Trisha Kolob, who was dominant in the MAC in women's basketball. Dominant in women's basketball. Now she's headed out. And now they got a new hire. She's coming in. I forget her name off the top of my head. I could probably do a quick search really quickly while I have you guys on the air here. Here it is. Just saw it. Her name is Jeannie Bogus. Boggess. She is coming in as the new head coach of the University of Toledo women's basketball team. Could she be the dominant as what Trisha Kolob was? Time will tell. But it's a good sign in Wood County that the reign that is the University of Toledo Rockets might be coming to an end. So we shall see. There's all the college sports talk for you right here on All Andy Elford today, right here on the All Andy Elford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you listen and watch, wherever you listen and watch. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. And now let's dive into some hockey and let's dive into what's happening with the Jackets. Oh, let's go into the Jackets. Dive into the Jackets. Oh, we're getting close to the end of the season. Thank God. Thank God the season's almost over. We've got, what, three games left in the season. Three games left in the end of the season. And it's over. The nightmare will be over of a season. And it didn't turn out well on Tuesday night. They went into Tampa. Well, we'll start on Sunday. We'll start Saturday. We'll talk some positives. Saturday was a surprise by yours truly. They host Philadelphia at the Schwide, fan appreciation night, and they showed up to play. They beat Philadelphia, who is technically the third team in the Metropolitan Division, could be the first or second wild card team possibly, and pulled a spoiler and beat the Flyers 6-2. Gabranson, Severson with two. Blackburn, Werenski with two in the game. And Glenning with goals. It was 6-2 as the final. It's great to see. You'd think they'd take the momentum to Carolina and they get shut out in Carolina 3-0. But Carolina's really good this year. Shestakov, Aho, Teravainen, all goal scorers. Columbus only had 23 shots on goal the entire game, and they got shut out by the Hurricanes 3-0. You get to Tuesday, they go into Tampa in this final road trip of the season, which sees them in Carolina, Tampa, Florida, and then back to Nashville on Saturday before they come back to the Swite on Tuesday to play Carolina. The Jackets had 32 shots on goal and lose this game in Tampa 5-2. Point for Tampa, Merchenko with two goals, one of them a power play, but then that, and those were the only bright spots for the Jackets. Stamkos with a power play goal, Siri the goal, Stamkos with two, with a hat trick in the game, and that's what killed the Jackets. The Jackets fall to Tampa by the score of 5-2. And Tampa had 33 shots on goal in this game to Columbus's 32 in the game. And by the way, if you're looking at this overall, you know, Merzlikins didn't get the start. It was Malcolm Subban who got the start, which is good to see coming over. And Malcolm in the game it was Jet Greaves, stopping 28 of 32 in the game. Malcolm played on Sunday and lost 3-0 to Carolina. And, you know, Merzlikins done for the season. I think he's done as a Jacket. I'm going to say that. I'll say that out loud. He is done as a Jacket. I think we're going to be moving him come draft time. But it just wasn't, you know, it's not good. Not good at all. So tonight we are in Florida to take on the Panthers. 7 o'clock drop for that one. The final three games for Jeff Rimmer in the broadcast booth. Florida on Thursday. They're in Nashville on Saturday for an 8 o'clock drop against the Predators. And then Tuesday, the final home game of the season, the final game of the regular season, sees them play Carolina at 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena to end the season. So if you look at it this way, the Jackets going into tonight are 26-41-12 with 64 points. They are the worst team in the Eastern Conference. League-wide, the Jackets are the 29th team in all the league with the worst record. San Jose's got the worst at 45. Then Chicago, Anaheim, then us. And then Montreal, who has 72 points. But it's a wild race for the wild card spot. And a lot of teams are looking for that wild card spot. And last night, Edmonton getting a 5-1 win over Vegas. St. Louis a 5-2 win over Chicago. And then overtime, Vancouver falling to Arizona 4-3. And talk about Arizona really quickly. I want to talk about them really quickly. How about Arizona going to be moving to Salt Lake City? Now, the Board of Governors has sent a memo to all 30 teams in the NHL saying that there is a consideration on the market that Salt Lake City could be getting an NHL franchise. And the NHL franchise to move would be the Arizona Coyotes. Now, Arizona just announced a huge announcement on a new arena for the team, for the organization. And now they're going to move? Now they're moving the franchise? You got to be kidding me. If that's not a slap in the face, then I don't know what else is. It's a huge slap in the face. And Arizona's been playing good as of late, but they're out of the playoff picture. And we'll get to the playoff picture here in just a second. But tonight, a lot of huge games. Carolina is in St. Louis, the Battle of the Blues. Nashville is in Chicago, the Battle of the Hawks. Oilers hosting the Coyotes. Flames in Anaheim to battle the Ducks. And Minnesota's in Vegas to battle the Golden Knights. Friday's slate looks like this. Oh, that was Friday's slate. Tonight's slate, big slate. Washington is in Buffalo to battle the Sabres. Flyers are in New York to battle the Rangers. Red Wings are in Pittsburgh to battle the Penguins. Huge game for the Red Wings, and I'll get to why I say that here in just a second. Ottawa is in Tampa, the Battle of the Lightning. New Jersey is in Toronto, the Battle of the Leafs. Montreal is in the Isle to battle the Islanders. Winnipeg is in Dallas to battle the Stars. San Jose is in Seattle to battle the Kraken. And LA is in home to battle the Calgary Flames. With that all in mind, let's take a look at the standings. Top three teams in each division. We're going to just show the wild card picture to this. Top three teams in the Metropolitan Division. The top team with the X next to their name are the New York Rangers at 53, 22, and 4 with 110 points. Carolina, 50, 22, and 7 with 107 points. And then you have the Islanders who are holding the third spot right now at 36, 27, 15 with 87 points. Atlantic Division's pretty much locked up. Boston's got the top spot. They have 107 points at 46, 18, and 15 with 107 points. Florida, 49, 24, and 6 with 104 points. And Toronto, 46, 23, and 9 with 101 points. It looks like it's going to be Florida and Toronto to start the playoff picture. The wild card race is where it's interesting, and this is where I'm going to get to. Tampa's already clinched the top wild card spot at 95 points at 44, 27, and 7 with 95 points. The final wild card spot is the one that's really up for grabs, ladies and gentlemen. Really up for grabs. Right now, it's held by the Washington Capitals at 37, 30, and 11 with 85 points. Pittsburgh is the third team at 36, 30, and 12 with 84 points. They are playing the Detroit Red Wings tonight, who are 38, 32, and 8 with 84 points. Huge game for both teams tonight. So if you look at it, a Washington loss and the winner between Pittsburgh and Detroit tonight will get the second wild card spot. But remember, Philadelphia is sitting there as well. They're 36, 32, and 11 with 83 points. Those are really the teams that are still left fighting for a wild card spot. You have New Jersey that's got 79 points. They're not going to catch them. Buffalo not going to catch them too at 79 points. Ottawa and Montreal and us are completely out of the playoff picture. Completely out of the playoff picture. So, yeah, I just don't see those teams coming back. It's a four-way race for one spot between Washington, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Philadelphia. Any one of those teams can fill that final spot. The problem is, who do you want to play? Are you going to be playing the Rangers or the Bruins to start? If you're me, I think tonight's game between Pittsburgh and Detroit is the best game because it has so much playoff implications. If Detroit loses this one, they're out. They're officially out. They're officially out of the playoff spot with only four games left to play for them. They're out. Completely out. And if you look at it, and we're going to look at it really quickly. I'm going to look it up really, really quickly. Detroit's final games are as follows. They are at Pittsburgh tonight. They're in Toronto on Saturday. Home to play Montreal on Monday. And then in Montreal on Tuesday to finish the season. For Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's final games, the Penguins are at home tonight against Detroit, at home against Boston, at home against Nashville, and they're in the Isle to battle the Islanders. Huge game for those games for them. So it leans more towards the Detroit side of the schedule, but tonight is the big game. Absolutely the huge game tonight for them. And if you look at Washington really quickly to pull it up, their schedule, their final four games. Buffalo tonight in Buffalo. At home on Saturday against Tampa, at home against Boston, and then they end the season with Philadelphia. So a lot of implications. And if you want to play it, Philadelphia's final four games, they're at New York tonight, they're in New Jersey on Saturday, they're at home against New Jersey, and then at home against Washington to end the season. So a lot of implications into the Eastern Conference side of things. That's what makes it more interesting, that the Eastern Conference side of the schedule. For four teams to battle for one final playoff spot. That's why I love this game so much. In the Western Conference, it looks like this Central Division, Dallas at the top spot at 50-20-9 with 109 points. Colorado 49-24-6 with 104 points. Winnipeg 48-24-6 with 102 points. The Pacific Division sees Vancouver in the top spot at 48-22-9 with 105 points. Edmonton at 48-24-5 with 101 points. The third spot is held by the LA Kings, who are 41-26-11 with 93 points. The wild card race, again, another interesting wild card race, but there's really just two teams that are battling it out right now. Vegas holding the top second spot at 42-28-8 with 92 points. Nashville is the top wild card spot. They're 45-29-5 with 95 points. St. Louis is the team that is on the outside looking in. They still have a mathematical shot to get in at 42-35-5 with 89 points. So there is that. It's more of an interesting race in the Eastern Conference than it is in the Western Conference. So just laying that all out there for you. So, like I said, the final games for the Jackets are happening this weekend. This week, Tampa on Tuesday, which they lost 6-2. Florida tonight, Nashville on Saturday, and Carolina. And then we can look at this season as a whole. And when right now, the early grades don't look good for the Jackets. So next week, when we come on the air on Thursday, when we'll preview the NHL playoffs and recap the NHL season and preview the ECHL playoffs, which we'll talk about the walleye here in just a second, it's not going to be good grades for the Jackets. I'm just telling you this right now. It's not good. It's not good at all. So there's the Jacket recap for you tonight right here on All Andy Elford. So now let's dive into a positive in hockey, of course. Let's talk a little bit about the walleye and the walleye roundup right now. The walleye coming off of a huge series in Iowa this past weekend. Huge series for them. Picking up big wins against the Iowa Heartlanders. And basically, they've already clinched the division. They were in Iowa starting on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, getting a big 5-1 win over the Heartlanders on that game. On Friday, a big 5-3 win over Iowa. After struggling, being down 2-0 to start the game, they come back to win 5-3 against the Heartlanders. And then on Saturday, beating the Heartlanders 4-1 and just taking these points like they needed it. And they don't need them because they have clinched the division. They have clinched a playoff spot. They are going to be the number one overall seed in the Central Division. So it'll be interesting. But the final three games of the year, it's very, very interesting in the East Coast Hockey League. But we'll look at the walleye schedule. They are in Wheeling Friday night, 7:10 puck drop at West Banco Arena. So go down. If you're headed down to Wheeling, have fun. Be careful. High water down there. So be careful down there in Wheeling. And then Saturday night, 7:15 puck drop at the Bank Tank, as it will be our Fish taking on the Fort Wayne Comets, the final regular season home game of the year. It will take place 7:15 at the Bank Tank. Tickets are sold out for that game. It is a complete sellout at the Bank Tank for that one. Sunday, they are in Fort Wayne to end the regular season, a 5:00 puck drop at the Memorial Coliseum. The Fish will be in Fort Wayne, and there's a lot of Fish fans that are going to be going to that game, and I know a lot of them that are going to be going. I know my friend Karina and Amber are headed over there tomorrow on Sunday to watch that game, so have fun. Be careful. Stop at Portillo's. Enjoy a hot beef sandwich. It's going to be a fun night at the Memorial Coliseum, but the final regular season game at the Huntington Center, Saturday night, 7:15. Tickets are sold out. You can't get in. You can go on the secondary markets and try to get them, or on the Facebook pages and try to get to them. But it's a complete sellout for Saturday night. So if you're in the market for a sporting event on Saturday, the Mudhens are home. They're going to be playing a doubleheader Saturday, 2:35 first pitch. And then the second game starting 30 minutes after the first game is completed. So if you're looking for something, there's that. Looking at scores from around the East Coast Hockey League last night in the East Coast Hockey League, on a Wednesday night, Adirondack was a winner 5-2 over Maine. Fort Wayne falls to Wheeling 4-1. That is a huge loss for Fort Wayne in that one. In that regard, we'll get to the playoff standings here in just a second. Florida was in home to play Jacksonville. They get a 5-2 win there. Kalamazoo, a 6-2 win over Iowa. And in overtime, Kansas City, a 2-1 win over the Cincinnati Cyclones. The rest of tonight, it will be Wichita is in Rapid City to battle the Rush. The other games besides the Fish game, Savannah is in Jacksonville. Orlando is in Redding. Worcester is in Three Rivers to battle the Lions. Atlanta is in Greenville. Adirondack is in Maine. South Carolina is in Florida. Kalamazoo continues the trip. They're in Iowa. The Indy Fuel are in Fort Wayne for a huge game. 8 o'clock puck drop for that one tomorrow night. Tulsa is in Allen. Wichita is in Rapid City. And Utah is in Idaho Friday night. Saturday slate. Worcester is in Three Rivers to battle the Lions. Maine is in Adirondack. South Carolina is in Florida. Kalamazoo travels to Indianapolis to battle the Fuel. Atlanta is in Jacksonville. Orlando is in Redding. Greenville is on the road to play Savannah. Kansas City goes to Iowa to battle the Heartlanders. Cincinnati goes to Wheeling to battle the Nailers. Tulsa is in Allen. Wichita is in Rapid City. And Utah is in Idaho for the final Saturday of the regular season. The final regular season game on Sunday looks like this. The Maine Mariners will take on the Adirondack Thunder. Atlanta is in Jacksonville. Worcester is in Three Rivers to battle the Lions. Savannah is in Greenville. Allen will be in Tulsa to battle the Oilers. So with that all in mind, let's look at the standings going into this weekend's play in the East Coast Hockey League. And we're going to start with the Central Division, clinched by the Walleye, who are 46-14-4-5 with 101 points. Indy is in second at 37-25-6-2 with 82 points. Wheeling is in third at 37-28-4-1 with 79 points. The top three teams right there, Indy and Toledo, have both clinched playoff spots. The 14th right now is the Kalamazoo Wings at 37-33-0 with 77 points. Fort Wayne is 35-28-3-3 with 76 points. That loss last night in Wheeling is a killer to stay on pace to get the fourth and final playoff spot. Now, here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma with Walleye fans and with yours truly. Okay, so the first games of the playoff series are actually happening the 19th and 20th when Amadeus is starting. By the way, get your tickets to go see Amadeus. If you can't get Walleye playoff tickets, Amadeus tickets. Go see me on stage. Here's the dilemma. We know that Indy is probably going to be the number two seed, so they will play the three seed. Toledo would play the number four seed. Four seed sits Kalamazoo. You know what the season series against Kalamazoo is this year. It's not good in favor of the Fish. Not good at all. But, you know, playoffs is a different animal. But I would like to see us play Fort Wayne in the first round. If we play Fort Wayne in the first round, there's a good possibility that we will make it to the next round to play either Indianapolis or Wheeling. The question is what the rest of the schedule will look, what the rest of the, after the first two series, if we get through the first two series, who we will play out in the Mountain Division. And the Mountain's interesting. Kansas City's holding the top spot. They're at 54-11-4-2 with 114 points. They're going to win the Brabham Cup, by the way, out of that one. Idaho, 46-22-2 with 96 points. Tulsa, 29-31-8-1 with 67 points. And Utah at 31-35-4-0 with 66 points. 66 points. Two of the four teams in the Mountain Division are under 500. Under 500. And they're going to make the playoffs because of the structure. That is the playoff structure. So there's that. You look at the Eastern Conference in the North Division. You're going to be shocked at this. Adirondack top spot 41-18-6-4 with 92 points. Norfolk 41-21-6-1 with 89 points. Worcester Railers are 31-35-3 with 70 points. And the Maine Mariners are at 500 at 31-31-7-0 with 69 points. The Lions of Three Rivers are right there at 29-29-5-3 with 66 points. They're 3 points off from the playoff spot. Now you're saying to yourself, Andy, what about Newfoundland? Where's Newfoundland? If you haven't heard the news yet, Newfoundland has ceased operations. They could not finish the season. They did not have enough money, and they could not finish the season. So unfortunately, their season is done. The existence of the Newfoundland Growlers are no more in the East Coast Hockey League. So we wish all those players, you know, best of luck in their time. And best of luck at finding a team. Because the playoff roster has to be in by Monday, the 15th of April, tax day, by 3 o'clock. And the problem is that these players cannot qualify for the playoffs with teams because you have to have a minimum of at least 6 games with your new team to qualify for a playoff roster spot. Now, the ECHL is not giving the extension because of the situation. They're not giving the extension to the situation, which is putting a lot of teams in turmoil because of this. Because they could go get some of these high players. There's like 6 or 7 or 8 good players in Newfoundland that are good quality East Coast Hockey League players, but they can't get to them because there's not enough games left to play for them to qualify for a playoff roster, which is just absolutely dreadful to see. Absolutely dreadful to see. Like you've seen, when they went out of existence about 2 weeks ago, and they announced it on a Sunday, a lot of teams still had 6 or 8 games left to go, but they couldn't get these players in because they have to, you know, go in, get the visa, get qualified, to come in to play hockey to the States, and it takes time. And they couldn't get it done. A lot of players found a way to get in, and they're trying their best. You know, they're asking the league for appeals, but the league isn't giving it to them. It's the way it is, unfortunately. It's the way it is. You look at the South. Greenville's holding the top spot at 42-22-4-1 with 89 points. Jacksonville 41-22-5-1 with 88 points. So the top spot for the South Division is still up for grabs between Jacksonville and Greenville. Florida holding the third spot at 38-23-7-2 with 85 points. And South Carolina, who is the provincial continuous playoff team, at 39-25-4-2 with 84 points. So the top four teams, like I said, in each division will qualify for the playoffs. For the North, it's Adirondack, Norfolk, Worcester, and Maine. For the South, it's Greenville, Jacksonville, Florida, and South Carolina. Mountain is Kansas City, Idaho, Tulsa, and Utah. And right now, as of right now, in the Central Division, it's the Walleye in the top spot, Indianapolis, Wheeling, Kalamazoo holding the fourth spot, and Fort Wayne is trying their best to get into the final spot in the final playoff position. So, lot to get into for that. Lots to get into next week when we recap the 2023-2024 regular season and preview the playoffs right here on All Andy Alford. And by the way, we have a special thing coming for the playoffs right here on All Andy Alford. Again, I will state this enough. I'm going to say this right now. First two games of the playoffs, unfortunately, we're not going to be doing a post-game show. Because, of course, yours truly doing Amadeus, doing the show on the 19th and 20th. We'll be downtown, but we will not be doing the show. We will not be doing a post-game show. Of course, our good friend Wes Carr will be joining us post-game to give his reaction, his thoughts, his first thoughts and opinions on what happened on the ice tonight, on that night. And we'll talk about what happened with the Fish. For every playoff game, we'll have a special post-game edition of the podcast. whether it be for the first round, second round, third round. But unfortunately, for the first two games of the playoffs, games one and games two, we will not have a post-game show because yours truly, again, in Amadeus with the Toledo rep, 19th and 20th is games one and games two of the playoff series. So I'm just letting you know that ahead of time right here on All Andy Alfred. So good to be with you guys tonight. Good to have you on the program. Looking forward to the playoffs for our fish, our fight, the 2024 playoff season. As you're watching and listening to All Andy Alfred tonight right here on the All Andy Alfred Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening to us, wherever and whenever you're listening to us. Thank you for tuning into the show. And now let's dive into some baseball talk. Let's talk some baseball. Let's talk about what's happening with the Kitties, the Guardians, as well as the Reds as well. So let's dive into what's happening on the diamond with the Tigers, the Guardians, as well as the Reds right here on the All Andy Alfred Network. And we're going to first start, first and foremost, with the Motor City Kitties up in Detroit. The Tigers getting ready were washed out today. They were postponed against the Minnesota Twins. They'll make that game up on Saturday with a doubleheader at Comerica Park. But the Tigers, as of late, you know, they're doing very, very well to start the season off. And I'm very, very impressed. You know, going into New York with the Mets, taking two or three from the Mets, it was good to see. I was very, very happy with that. You know, I mean, the Mets aren't that good this year. Go into Chicago, sweep the White Sox. You know, you start the season 5-1. Good to see. Then you come home to play Oakland, win against Oakland 5-4, but then lose the final two games and let Oakland take two out of three from you. That was a little tough. They were on a three-game skid until yesterday afternoon when they played the Pirates in Pittsburgh and got the 5-3 win. And like I mentioned before, they will open up a series this week with the Minnesota Twins on Friday night. They'll play a four-game series in 3 days with the doubleheader playing on Tuesday. 6:40 first pitch tomorrow at Comerica Park. It will be Scooble, who's 1-0 with a 2.92 ERA. He'll take on Lopez, who's 1-1 with a 2.84 ERA. Like I said, 6:40 first pitch start time. Then the doubleheader will take place at Comerica Park on Saturday. It'll be Maeda, who's 0-1 with a 9 ERA. He'll take on Ryan for the Twins, who is 0-1 with a 3.18 ERA for that one. The second game of the double dip. Both teams have not yet named starters for that. That's probably going to be a bullpen game and or a mudhen call-up for that game. I bet you Manning will get the call-up for that one. The concluding game on Sunday, we'll see Flaherty on the hill for Detroit. He's 0-1 with a 5.25 ERA. He'll take on Ober, who's 0-1 with a 12.79 ERA. That game, 1:40 Eastern at Comerica Park, and then they'll welcome in the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers for a four-game series. Three games at 1:10 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday's game of the 15th is going to be a 6:40 first pitch, and then after that they will play three in Minnesota, three in Tampa before they come back home to play three against Kansas City and then three against the Cardinals before they head to the Bronx to take on the Yankees for a three-game series, and then they'll go to Cleveland to battle the Guardians for a three-game set for them. If you look at it overall for the Tigers right now, the overall stats for the Tigers, pitching-wise, best ERA is Scooble at 2.92 ERA. Miller's got three wins. Scooble has 15 strikeouts so far this year. With hitters on base, Scooble's pitching at a .73 right now. It's really, really good. The top, Cole Keith, is batting a .222 right now, so he's not hitting his weight. But that's not good. That's pretty good to start off for the kid. Riley Green, three home runs. He's the leader in the clubhouse right now. Urshela's got 12 hits to start the season off. Green with seven runs. Baez has got three stolen bases. Two players have, with Riley Green and Kelly having five RBIs this season. Spencer Torkelson with three doubles so far this year. So the Tigers Again, like I said, rained out today. They'll play tomorrow, 6:40, first pitch. It'll be Scooble versus Lopez in that affair. And the Tigers are looking really good. I like what I'm seeing so far. I like the bullpen rotation so far. I think the Tigers are playing very, very well. Playing very, very well. And now let's talk about the team on the other side of the lake, and that is the Guardians. The Guardians came home for their home stand. You know, with the Guardians, to start, they take 3 of 4 out of Oakland. Then they go to Seattle, take 2 of 3 from the Mariners, and then go to Minnesota and sweep the series against Minnesota, the postponement on the 7th. But then they come back to Progressive Field, bow the White Sox, take 2 of 3 from the White Sox, including yesterday with their 7-6 win. They're off today. Huge series for them coming up this weekend. Big games at the Prague. The New York Yankees come to Progressive Field. The Yankees, this early in the season, it's perfect for them to get them this early because the Yankees are trying to figure themselves out. You get them in June and July, you've got some problems. Get this series out of the way early. Early. And it's good to see. It will be Cookie Carrasco starting Friday for the Guardians. No record as of 8. His ERA, a 4.50 ERA. He's got 9 strikeouts this year. The Yankees will throw Schmidt on the mound. He has no record, but his ERA, a 4.66. He's got 9 strikeouts. 7:10 first pitch for that one. Saturday, 6:10 first pitch. The game is on Bally's and on Yes. It will be McKenzie, who's 1-1 with a 4 ERA. He'll take on Gill, who's got no record as of yet for the Yankees. A 3 ERA. Gill has 14 strikeouts. McKenzie only with 4. The concluding game on Sunday, a 1:40 first pitch at Progressive Field. We'll see the Yankees and the Guardians, and it'll be Allen on the bump, 2-0 with a 4.60 ERA. He'll take on Nestor Cortes, who's 1-1 with a 3.50 ERA. Both players have 13 strikeouts this season. And then the Tribe, formerly the Tribe, now the Guardians, but then will hit the road for a 4-game series in Boston, including the 11:10 a.m. first pitch Monday, as it is Patriots Day on the 15th. 4 games in Boston before they come back to Progressive Field, or 3 against the A's, and then 3 at home against the Red Sox before they head to Atlanta to take on the Braves, 3 in Houston, and then they welcome in the Angels for 3 games, and then they will host Detroit in the beginning of May for the series there. So there's that for you guys. Guardians, you know, they're as what I expected, 9-3 to start off. They're pretty good to start off the season, but it's early, very, very early this year. The Yankees are 10-3 so far this year as well, so there's that. If you're looking at overall stats for the season so far, Stephen Kwan's got the best average right now. He's batting at .386. Naylor has 3 home runs. Josh Naylor has 3 home runs. Jose Ramirez has got 10 RBIs so far. Stephen Kwan has had 13 runs. The OPS is back to Jimenez, who's got a .418 OPS, and slugging percentage is in Naylor's count. His slugging percentage is a .614. His OPS is a .056. Very, very good to start off with. The pitching wise, of course, the bad news is that Shane Bieber is done for the season. He will have Tommy John surgery. That's going to kill the Guardians. And that's not good to see. It really isn't good to see. So the Guardians losing him. Allen with 2 wins. Bieber has 2 wins. Salen with 2 wins. So that's that. Bieber had 20 strikeouts. Class A has 4 saves so far. Bieber, 092. With the runners in scoring position. It's just not good for the Guardians right now. And with Bieber out now, it's hard. It's going to be absolutely hard. But we'll see. You know, I've seen this team rally from everything. So we shall see. Let's talk about the National League circuit. Let's talk about the National League team that's in the area. That is the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds coming off of the homestand to start off on the 28th, the 30th, and the 31st against Washington, getting 2 out of 3 from Washington, heading to Philadelphia, taking 2 of 3 from the Phillies, which is a very, very surprise after the embarrassment they had on national television. But then they lose 2 of 3 to the Mets at Great America, and then they lose 2 of 3 to the Brewers. They get rained out today. They will now head to the south side of Chicago to take on the White Sox for a 3-game series, and then they'll head to Seattle for 3 games to battle the Mariners before they return back to play the Angels for 3, Phillies for 4. Then they head to Texas to see the World Series champion Texas Rangers, and then they'll head to San Diego for 3 games before they return back for 3 against Baltimore, and then 3 against the National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks. And then the big West Coast trip begins, 3 in San Francisco, 3 in Arizona, and then 4 in LA to battle the Dodgers in that realm. The Reds sit at 6-6 right now. The Brewers, who they were supposed to play today, are 8-3 overall. And they'll make that game up on August 30th as a doubleheader there. If you're looking at the stats overall for the Reds so far, Spencer Steers leading in the average at 372. Two players that are tied at 3 home runs at Dela Cruz and Steer. You look at the RBIs. Steer has driven in 15 RBIs. Martini has driven in 9. Dela Cruz has 6 stolen bases. He has had 13 runs in. The OBP is towards Spencer Steer is hitting at a 471, and his slugging percentage is a .721 overall. Pitching-wise is Montez. Montez overall, yeah, if you're looking at, and Benson leads in strikeouts right now, if you're looking at that, Logan. Benson has 18 strikeouts. Candelario has 17 strikeouts. De La Cruz has got 17 strikeouts. Encarnacion Strand has 15 strikeouts so far. If you're looking at the pitching-wise, Montez is the leader in the ERA. He's pitching at a 2.16 ERA. He's got 2 wins so far this year. Strikeouts are led by Hunter Green, who's got 22 strikeouts this year. Montez is 13. Ashcraft has got 11, and Cruz with 10 so far. Diaz has got 2 saves so far this year. The whip right now is in Montez at a 1.14. And Suter has got 6 guards so far for this season. So the Reds hanging out at 6-6 right now. You know, it's early. We take this at 30 days or at 30 games. Once we get to the 30-game mark, we can see where these teams are standing out. Right now, we're seeing very high in the Tigers right now. Guardians are actually starting to plummet with the loss of Shane Bieber. And the Reds are sitting right in the middle. That's where we kind of want to sit. It kind of feels like the Tigers are going up the roller coaster, and the Guardians are headed down the roller coaster right now. So it's not good in all aspects of that. But if you're looking at standings wise, and it's very, very early, I'm gonna say this: the Guardians are in the top spot at 9-3. Kansas City's 8-4. Detroit's 7-4 with the washout today. Minnesota 4-6. The White Sox 2-10. The East, the Yankees 10 wins right off the bat, 10-3. Baltimore 7-4. Boston 7-5. Tampa 7-6. Toronto 6-7. Which I'm surprised of how bad Toronto is starting off this season. They've got to get the motions going a little bit, and once they do, they will. They absolutely will. The West, Texas 7-5. Angels 6-6. The Mariners at 5-8. That's a little bit of a surprise there. Oakland 4-8 and Houston 4-9 to start the season. National League in the senior circuit: Atlanta top spot 7-4. Phillies are 6-6. The Mets at 5-7. So Frank the Tank is hanging in there. The Nationals are 5-7. The Marlins 2-11. You kind of figured that was going to happen. Central Division: the Pirates. Very, very surprised on how good the Pirates are. 9-3 to start off, but it's early. Very, very early. Brewers 8-3. Cubs are 7-5. I think the Bellinger effect is really helping them out. Like I mentioned, the Reds are 6-6. And then the Cardinals are 6-7. so far. Dodgers 10-5. Dodgers and Yankees are right in that hunt to battle each other out. Padres are 7-6. Arizona 6-7. The Giants are 5-8. And the Rockies are 3-10 to start off the season. And it's like I said, very, very early. Very, very early this season to start. Can't make any calls on it quite yet. So there's that for you. While we're talking on the diamond, let's talk a little Mudhen baseball. Of course, the AAA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. That game has been washed out today. Their game against Indianapolis in their six-game series against the Indianapolis Indians, the top farm team of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Games was scheduled to go today, but they have washed the game out. Priester will start on Friday for Indianapolis, and he is the top prospect in the Pittsburgh Pirate organization. He will start at Fifth Third Field tomorrow night, 7:05 first pitch for that one. He's 1-0 with a 2.79 ERA. Hertler will start for Toledo. He's 0-1 with a 7.71 ERA. And then there will be a doubleheader on Saturday. It will be Aldred for Indianapolis, 0-1 with a 3.86 ERA. Toledo has not yet named the starter for that one. They have not yet named the starter for the second game of the series. And then on Sunday, the concluding game of the series, the teams have not yet named starters. They played last night in the rain. Indianapolis, a 4-3 win over Toledo. Toledo now 5-6. Indianapolis 6-5. Flowers got the win. He's 1-0 with a 12.75 ERA. Wingardner gets the loss. He goes to 1-2 with a 4.15 ERA. Fresa gets the save in the game. You look at overall standings in the International League right now, and you look at it, it's overall. In the West right now, Iowa's leading the top spot at 7-4. Omaha 7-4, Gwinnett 6-5, Indianapolis 6-5, Nashville 5-5, St. Paul 5-5, Louisville is 5-6, Toledo is 5-6, Columbus is 4-6, and Memphis is 4-6 in the International League West. In the International League East, Buffalo 7-4, Jacksonville 7-4, the Scranton Wilkes-Barre is 7-4, Norfolk 7-5, Syracuse 5-5, Lehigh 4-4, Rochester 4-5, Worcester 4-6, Durham 4-7, and Charlotte is 2-9 this season, in this early part of the season, 11 games into the season. Today, by the way, if you're looking at scores from around the International League, today, like I mentioned, the Mudheads postponed. Worcester will play Syracuse. Durham is in Lehigh Valley. Charlotte is in Jacksonville. Gwinnett is in Omaha. Iowa is in St. Paul. Nashville is in Memphis. Day games today, Scranton was a winner 4-3 over Norfolk. Rochester, a 6-3 win over Buffalo in a rain-shortened game. And Louisville was postponed today to the Clippers. They're going to make that game up on tomorrow on the 12th. So there is that. That's a look around the diamond, of course. Also, got to make mention of this really quickly. Next Tuesday, the 16th of April, it will be a special event happening at Fifth Third Field as the Toledo Rocket men's baseball team takes on the University of Michigan baseball team. You can get tickets by calling 419-725-HENS or visiting ToledoMudHens.com or heading down to the Swamp Shop or box office to get your tickets. Tickets are $10 a piece. You can get those tickets at the door. And it's open seating. You can sit wherever you want. Not assigned seating for that game. So go ahead, come down to the ballpark, see the University of Michigan men's baseball team take on the University of Toledo team at Fifth Third Field. And then, of course, in May, the Battle of I-75 on the diamond. One game at BG, one game at Toledo, the neutral game at Fifth Third Field. So there's that. Looking forward to that. As you are watching and listening to All Andy Alford today right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening and watching, thank you so much for tuning into the show today. And now, hello friends, let's head down to Augusta and let's talk a little bit about the Masters. So you've finally hit one of my favorite weeks of the year. Best It's the start of spring, the start of the golf season. It is the beautiful Masters from Augusta, Georgia. My favorite tournament of the year. I love the Masters. I've always wanted to go. It's on my bucket list. I need to go there. And the tournament was delayed by 2 hours today, but getting the chance to at 10 o'clock to watch Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Tom Watson tee up, and Jack hitting it to the left, and Tom just giving him the business afterwards. Jack, you've never laid it to the left in your entire life. Harry Augusta. And it's like, I was just drawing a fade. I love it. Absolutely love it. Still love it. But, of course, you know, last year we had the battle between LIV Golf and the PGA. Now both are in bed with each other, basically. And you're seeing that as both companies are playing with one another in the Masters, as Masters golfers are playing with PGA golfers are playing with the LIV golfers in this tournament. And right now, a LIV Golf tournament leader is leading the clubhouse at the turn, at the end of the first round, as Bryson DeChambeau leads the tournament at 7 under par, shooting a 65 in his first round. Witt is in second at 4 under par, shooting a 68 in his first round. Tied for third of the following players who are still out on the course right now. Han is at 16. Right now he's at 3 under par. Will Zalatoris, 3 under par as well, too. Michael Fitzpatrick, 3 under par as well, too. Wyndham Clark at 3 under par, too. That's the guy I have. And I will announce here that I made a bet on for the Masters. I picked Wyndham Clark to win the Masters this year. I think Wyndham won the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club. Same dynamic with Augusta. I think there will be an opportunity there. Davis, 3 under par as well, too. Corey Connors, 2 under par, tied for ninth. With Scottie Scheffler, Smith, and Victor Hovland at 2 under par, too. And Pavon at 2 under par as well, too, tied for ninth. Tied for 14th right now is Wren, Moore, Olsen, Glover, English. Phil Mickelson finishes, he's at 15 right now, 1 under par, tied for 14th with Tony Finau as well, too. John Rahm, the defending Masters champion, is at 1 under par right now, tied for 14th. McCarthy, 1 under par as well. Patrick Reed, Makata, as well as Burns, Young, and Tiger Woods at 1 under par at the second hole right now. Sergio is at even par, tied for 37 with Straka, Henley, Neiman, and Rory McIlroy, as well as Woo Kim and Cole, as well as Shane Lowry as well. Keegan Bradley, even par as well, too. Adam Scott, Jason Day, who I have in my top 10 this year to get into the Masters, to finish in the top 10. Max Homa, also in my top 10 as well. Patrick Cantlay, tied for 48th, 1 over par with Justin Thomas, Hodges, Woo Lee, as well as Weir. Vijay Singh, also 1 over par, so 2, Bubba Watson, and Brooks Koepka, 1 over par as well, 2. The amateur Hagstand is finished up at 1 over par as well, 2. Schwartzel, 2 over par, tied for 59th with Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, Justin Rose, Zach Johnson, 3 over par, tied for 73rd. Hideki Matsuyama, 3 over par as well, too. Gary Woodland finishes his round with a 76, 4 over par. Fred Couples, 4 over par at 7 right now. And a bunch of players still yet to tee off. Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, Dustin Johnson haven't teed off yet. And Jordan Spieth, Sagawa, and Allenberg are on the course right now as we speak. So everybody fully on the course now as of 4th. We'll be at about 4:35. Everybody will fully be on the course playing their first rounds at Augusta. Question is, will they get through the first round? I do think they will. The question is, you know, if they do get through the first round, you know, who's going to be the top leap spot? Will Bryson DeChambeau stay at the top spot And DeChambeau played pretty well. I watched the early morning session, and I watched his rounds. And my wife and I were talking about it, and I was showing her that, you know, he has such a hard, hard driving shot. He comes down hard, swings it hard when he goes to his follow-through, when it comes to his tee shots. But then when it comes to his, like, approaches shots and everything like that, it's a typical golf swing, which is a flow to it. And I like it. I absolutely like it. And, you know, it will be interesting to see how it goes out. Of course, you have Amen Corner. And, you know, the toughest hole right now is hole 4. And that's setting up to show a lot of people up right now. Absolutely setting up to show a lot of people up. So we'll see how this is going to shake out. I enjoy the Masters. It's one of my favorite, like I said, it's one of my favorite events. And, you know, Tiger playing in this, it's going to be fun. Absolutely fun. The ladies on the LPGA, by the way, are not in action until next week. They played the match play last week, and it was Nelly Korda beating Leona Maguire in 4-3 to win the T-Mobile match play. Next week they will be in Woodlands, Texas for the Chevron Championship. Lydia Vu is the defending champion, and it will be that, and then the JM Eagle LA Championship, the Founders Cup, the Mizuno America Open, and then the U.S. Women's Open, May 30th through the 2nd of June, and then the ShopRite LPGA Classic by Acer, June 7th through the 9th, and then the event in Grand Rapids, the LPGA Classic for Simple Give, the Meyer LPGA Classic, then the Women's PGA Championship, the Dow Championship, and then they head over to France for the Evian Championship, July 11th to the 14th, and then they come back to the States the next week for our tournament. Our tournament, July 18th to the 21st, the Dana Open. Can't wait. Can't wait. So, there's your golf talk, and we'll give you updated information on the Masters on our Facebook as well as on our Twitter accounts all week. And remember, more birdies, less bogeys, right here on All Andy Alford. As you are watching and listening to All Andy Alford tonight, right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you listen to us, wherever and whenever you listen to us, thank you for tuning in. And remember, Amadeus, yours truly, on stage, Amadeus, the Toledo Reps production of Amadeus by Peter Schaefer, April 19th, 20th, and the 21st, and then the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th of April. For tickets, go to visit ToledoRep.org or call 419-243-9277. I got to get that number down. 419-243-9277 for ticket information and more information about the show. Our thanks to our sponsors, of course, Buckeye Broadband, Anderson's, the Theater League of Toledo, and the Ohio Arts Commission, and so much more. And I say it again, come and enjoy the theater. You know, come and see us. We have a great cast. It's a great show. It really is a great show. It's not based off of the movie. If you've seen the movie, there's some references to the movie to it. But this is a really good stage production. Great set, great cast, great crew, and a great facility. Come see us. Amadeus, April 19th, 20th, and 21st, and April 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Toledo Rep Theater in downtown Toledo, 419-243-9277 for ticket information or visit the website ToledoRep.org. So with that all in mind, you know, Salieri had to finish his story with Amadeus. Another person finished their story. Let's recap WWE's biggest and best WrestleMania. We just talked about the Masters. Let's talk about a great event. WWE's World Wrestling Entertainment's WrestleMania. What a weekend. What an absolute weekend in Philadelphia we had this past weekend. Friday was Friday Night SmackDown, which was a very good go-home to the event. And then Friday night, you had the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I thought Paul Heyman's induction was very, very good. I thought they did a fantastic job with the product. The Muhammad Ali induction was really, really good. The Midnight Express, the American Express, was great. They did a fantastic job paying tribute to not only themselves, but to their son, Wyndham Clark, who is better known as Bray Wyatt. A fantastic job. And I'm just surprised that he has not gone into the Hall of Fame as a honorable or memorial mention. So there's that. But the two-night WrestleMania was really, really good. Now, Saturday night, you had a decent match in Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch to lead it all off. I kind of figured Rhea was probably going to retain. I thought also Becky could possibly win. But Rhea retaining was very, very good. I thought that was very, very good to start. And then, of course, you had the six-pack ladder match. And you have Austin Theory and Grayson Waller winning the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. But then you get to see my guy, our favorite guy, The Miz, and R-Truth, the Awesome Truth, win gold for Raw. They're now the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Good to see that happen. Also, you had, of course, Sami Zayn taking on Gunther and ending Gunther's reign of 666 days as Intercontinental Champion. That was very, very, very good to see. And that was a very, very good match. And then you had the main event. Before I get to the main event, Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jay Cargill taking on Damage Control. And Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Jay Cargill going to be a star, a superstar, a very big star in WWE. I think she did a fantastic job. Thumbs up to Jade. Did a great job for her first match, being a six-woman tag match. Great to see. Sammy's match was good after that. And then you got to the main event, which was Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, teaming up with Seth freaking Rollins, the World Heavyweight Champion, in a tag match with the Universal Undisputed Champion, Roman Reigns, and the final boss, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, if Seth and Cody would win the match, it would be a clean match, no outside interference, the Bloodline would be out of it. If the Bloodline wins, then it's Bloodline rules on Sunday for the main event. Now, we get to that match. I kind of figured that, you know, Cody was probably going to lose the match. I had that feeling. And I just didn't like the fact that The Rock was taking advantage of the situation, basically shouting at the referee, if you count us out, if you count, I'm going to have you fired, blah, 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 blah. Very Vince McMahon-ish, setting the tone. It's like, I wanted you to count to three, you know. Then the Backlash match when it was The Rock and Triple H back in the day, when Vince would say, I want you to count to three and pin him. Make sure you count to three. That's what I felt like with that match. And then The Rock pinning Cody Rhodes to make it be Bloodline rules was very, very telling. We'll get to that about that later. But Bloodline rules took into effect on Sunday. And Sunday by far was the better of all the matches and everything of the two-night WrestleMania. You opened with Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, Drew literally kicking it off with the Claymore to start was very, very good. I felt like when I saw him kick the Claymore and it was a two pinfall, I thought for a minute Daniel Bryan's Sheamus from WrestleMania a long time ago, when Bryan had the World Heavyweight Championship, faced Sheamus. Sheamus hit him with a super kick and 1-2-3, and that was that quick of a match. That's how I felt. But it was a quick match. You had CM Punk sitting there at ringside doing commentary. McIntyre gets the pinfall, gets the win. He couldn't let his ego go and taunts CM Punk. CM Punk drops him. CM Punk hits him, and as I projected, Damian Priest comes running down the aisle, gives the briefcase to the referee, cashes in, hits him a South of Heaven. We have a new champion in Damian Priest. Very, very good. Very, very good. And I got to give credit to Seth Rollins. Rollins did a fantastic job in that match, coming out, being injured after he was injured actually for real in the on Saturday night's main event. So coming out strong like that, very, very good. Very, very good. Then you had the triple threat between Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens did a fantastic job in that match. I thought Kevin Owens could have won that match really easily. I thought so would Randy Orton, but, you know, the height that Logan Paul can get very, very surprised me. Surprised me a lot. And to see him do that well in this kind of an event, got to give props to Logan Paul. Logan Paul retains as United States champion. Very, very good to see that. Then you get to LA Knight. Yeah, taking on AJ Styles. I thought that match was really, really good. Kind of pushed a little bit more in that match. But LA Knight getting the win on it, I'm very, 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 very happy about that. And I thought he did a very good job for his first WrestleMania match. I love the fact that, you know, they played that Slim Jim kind of situation out of it as well. That was very, very good. Then you had the dual main event. You had Io Sky, the WWE Women's Champion, taking on Bayley, who won the Royal Rumble. Bayley goes out there. The crowd was with her the entire time, and I enjoyed every minute of that match. That was very, very good. And Bayley is the new Women's Champion. If I'm spoiling this all for you, I do apologize. But I'm doing my job and recapping it all. And then you get to the main event for the Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship match. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. You see Brandi Rhodes come out with her husband in this match. When I saw that happen, I was like, oh, we're including that now. Okay. Okay. So you see this match go on. You know, they fight regularly. They fight regular in the ring. They don't take it out to the crowd. They don't take it out into the universe, but they stayed into the ring. See, Jimmy Uso then comes in, attacks, tries to help out. Jay comes running to the ring, helps out Cody. He then, you know, spears Jimmy through a table from the top of the ramp at the WrestleMania ramp, which, you know, is a huge ramp. Huge ramp. And then Solo Sikoa comes in, spikes Cody Rhodes yet again. Does the spears with Roman Reigns, gives him the spike, double spike, 1, 2, Cody kicks out. And I'm like, oh boy, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? All of a sudden, the music hits, and it's John Cena. Cena comes running down, beats the hell out of Solo Sikoa, puts him through the announce table. Cena's standing there, like, on the side. Like, yeah, I just finished it, and then all of a sudden, if you smell boom, what the Rock is cooking. The Rock comes out, the final boss comes out. He comes down, starts arguing with Cena. Cena and him get into it. Starts beating him up, beating Cena up. Takes out the belt that says Mama Rhodes on the side of it because he wants to give it to Cody Rhodes' mom. And then we hear something that I thought I would never see again. The gong hits. When the gong hit, I literally jumped out of my chair and jumped on top of my chair and said, my wife was saying, what are you doing? I said, oh my God, I can't believe it. The Undertaker comes out. Undertaker is right behind Rock. Rock's waiting for him at the top of the come down the ramp. Like behind him. Tries to hit him with the belt. Choke slams the Rock. The lights go out, the gong hits, and it's cleared. Roman's looking around. Roman tries to go for the spear, Rhodes kicks him, hits him with not one, not two, but three strong crossroads. It still gives me chills to say this. Finished the story. And we have a new undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Cody Rhodes. And when that happened, ladies and gentlemen, I cried. I cried because the fact is, this guy has paid his dues for so long, has paved the way for this story, and the way it ended was just perfect. He finished so many stories. So many stories were finished between Jimmy and Jay, between Solo and Cena, Cena and Rock. And then you finished the story, which it was in 1999, between The Rock and The Undertaker. It finishes all the stories. 99 was the year that they were in Philadelphia for that WrestleMania. So it finished all the stories. It was perfect. It was the perfect way. And I, like I said, was crying my eyes out when it was happening. I can't believe it. It felt like when the Lions won their playoff games, I was crying then, I was crying now, and that's why I love professional wrestling. I love wrestling. It pulled me in, and it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. See more of the details of WrestleMania. It was great. It was honestly, it was so great. And then you had the Raw after Mania, which is always a surprise. You figure that, you know, you would be surprised with some of the returns. The talk was that MJF would be making his debut in WWE then. Didn't see that happening. But you saw The Rock come out and talk to Cody Rhodes and basically say that, you know, he's got to go away for a little bit of time. See ya. We don't need you in WWE anymore. You didn't make wrestling cool. Cody made wrestling cool, plain and simple. But you had the match between Shinsuke Nakamura and Ilya Dragunov from NXT. Thought that was a really good match. Sami Zayn coming out and talking. Thought that was really, really good to face with Chad Gable. Teams with Chad Gable to face Imperium. Thought that was a really good match. Well, the one that got me was Chelsea Green. She wanted her time, because she never got a WrestleMania moment or anything like that, and she faces Jay Cargill as Cargill's first individual singles one-on-one match, and puts her away very, very easily. I felt like I was watching an AEW match again, when she was in AEW. Squash match. Squashed. And then you had the finale, which was a fatal four-way to determine who would face Damian Priest. Oh, then you get to the Damian Priest Judgment Day situation. We'll get to the finale here in just a second. Judgment Day comes out. Miz and Truth come out when Truth is trying to get back into the Judgment Day. And Truth says, I'm going to tag with a partner that you can't see. And I'm thinking Little Jimmy or anything like that. And then halfway through the match, it's Miz in the middle of the ring and the Judgment Day is about ready to attack. And then again, the Cena music hits again. And John comes running down the ramp. He takes his shirt off, throws the towel. He's like, sticks his hand out. Miz snaps it. 1, 2, 3. They fight. 1, 2, 3. It's victory. And Miz, Truth, and Cena all win the match. And I'm going to say this. I think we're seeing the finale of John Cena's career in WWE. I think this is the time for him to go. This would be a great time for WWE to push Cena. You know, they got the event in Backlash. They've got the event that's happening in Toronto. And then you've got SummerSlam. SummerSlam would be the perfect way for John to go out in Cleveland. Be perfect on that route. And like I said, the next two pay-per-views are out of this country. Backlash. Clash the Castle, Money in the Bank, all three outside the United States. The next pay-per-view is in Cleveland at Cleveland Browns Stadium for SummerSlam. That's the next pay-per-view for WWE. So then we get to the finale. A Fatal 4-Way match. Drew McIntyre, Jey Uso, Ricochet, and Bronson Reed. All four competitors. The winner faces Damian Priest for a World Heavyweight Championship bit. McIntyre is fuming, pissed as ever. Jey Uso comes down the ramp. McIntyre is still pissed as ever. And my favorite bit of this whole thing was McAfee. I couldn't stand him all WrestleMania weekend. He shows so much favoritism to the heels. I can't stand that. He needs to be both. He needs to be impartial in the middle, like Cole is. He can't be a face and a heel fan. He has to be a middle fan. He can't be, giving the one finger to the knowledge of the tribal chief Roman Reigns at the time. So, but him trying to do the Jey Uso dance, standing on top of McIntyre not having it. I thought that match was a really good match. And then CM Punk basically screwing McIntyre yet again, holding his feet. Jey Uso hitting the pin, hitting him, then getting the pin, 1-2-3. And now Jey Uso, it's the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest. That's end. The four nights in Philadelphia. There's Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That ends WrestleMania. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And then you had AEW last night that was, I thought it was mediocre. I thought it wasn't really that good. I watched a little bit of it, and it really, really, really disappointed me. Really, really disappointed me. So, I think I'm going to say this. I think the momentum is in WWE's hands, and WWE is continuing to go up in momentum. I think AEW has finally hit the plateau. And the problem I have with AEW is that they have so much great talent there. So much great talent there. But the booking and the storytelling isn't there. WWE has all three criterias. They're hitting all three criterias: storytelling, the talent, and the creative. It's all there. It's not there for AEW. They have talent, but they don't have the booking capabilities, the story developing. They don't have anything like that. It's basically, they are like a Pokemon from back in the 90s. If you remember the 90s, you collected Pokemon cards and you played Pokemon cards. You're basically collecting the Pokemon cards and not playing them and not creating moments and playing it with the Pokemon cards. That's what's happening with this. Plain and simple. So, WWE's headed up. AEW is plateauing. TNA is starting to go up a little bit. NXT's still going up pretty well. So, yeah, professional wrestling's doing very, very well. And to those people that don't like professional wrestling, thinks it's all fake, watch it. See, if you watch this, if you watch soap operas, watch stories, you watch wrestling. So there's that. WrestleMania 40 from Philadelphia. They have not yet announced where 41 is going to be at. Talks is either in Minnesota or I want to say, I think it was Minnesota was the next spot where they were thinking, where the Vikings play at. So there's that. As you are watching and listening to All Andy Elford tonight right here on the All Andy Elford Podcast Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you so much for tuning in. And now we head to the end of our podcast tonight, and it's now time for Andy Rants. So it's now time for Andy Rants tonight. I want to thank you for tuning into the podcast tonight. And if you haven't done so, hit subscribe on our podcast network so you can get the latest episodes. We do an episode each week right here on All Andy Elford. We'll do another episode next week. Also, got to make mention and give my plugs, of course. Of course, remember, Amadeus, come see us at the Toledo Rubs production presents Amadeus by Peter Schaefer. April 19th, 20th, and the 21st, and April 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Toledo Repertoire Theater in downtown Toledo. Great tickets are still available by calling 419-243-9277, 419-243-9277, or visiting ToledoRep.org for ticket information, as well as information on the show, the cast, and so much more. Great cast. Garrett Monsmith is our Mozart. I can't pronounce his name. Scalpini is our Salieri. Joe, good friend of the podcast. He watches and listens to the show. Does a great job as Salieri. Great sports mind as well, too. Big Cleveland sports fan. Got to give credit to that. Matthew, Joseph is a big Buffalo Bills fan. I got to give credit to him on that. And, yeah, it is a great show. Come see us April 19th, 20th, and 21st, and April 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Toledo Rep Theater in downtown Toledo, Ohio. 419-243-9277 is for information and for tickets. Also, you can visit ToledoRep.org for ticket information. Also, Walleye playoff tickets are available by calling 419-725-WALL, ToledoWalleye.com, or heading down to the Huntington Center or Swamp Shop box office in downtown Toledo. You don't want to miss it. It's Our Fish, Our Fight. And while you're at either catching Amadeus or heading over to the Huntington Center for playoff games, why don't you stop down and see my good friends down at the Blarney Irish Pub. Bill Klein and his crew down at the Blarney Irish Pub did a fantastic job during St. Patrick's Day, but they're not just for St. Patrick's Day. They're open pregame and postgame for every Walleye and Huntington Center event. They have delicious Reuben sandwiches, great fish and chips. The sauerkraut, the Reuben balls are fantastic. So visit my friends down at the Blarney Irish Pub in downtown Toledo. A getaway before or after Walleye games and events in downtown Toledo. Also, if you need a drink and you're in the Uptown District, two good spots. Of course, my good friend Micah over at Wesley's Bar and Grill right there on Adams Street. Wesley's, good beer, good prices, and a great crew over there at Wesley's. And my good friend Zach over at Manhattan's Pub and Cheer. The poutine, fantastic. I'll probably be there on May the 4th for the Derby party, of course. I enjoy watching the Kentucky Derby. And we're going to have Lucas on again here in the next few weeks once the card and the draw has been announced for the Derby. When he gets it out, when we get the announcement of when the draw is, we will have him on. We'll get you what you need to know about the Kentucky Derby, which is the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, which happens May 4th this year. So we're less than about three weeks away from the Derby. And a lot of the horses are coming in now into Kentucky to run on the track at Churchill Downs. So there is that for you. But yeah, visit my friend Zach down at Manhattan's Pub and Cheer for all your food needs and great drinks. The poutine, fantastic. The pizza's really good too. So, as well as the burgers as well. So, Zach over there at the Manhattan's Pub and Cheer. Also, my friends down at the Libby Glass Factory Outlet Store, 205 South Erie Street, the original sponsor of all Andy Alford, of course. Whether you need glassware for your beer, for all your tailgate parties, whether you need plates to put those sandwiches on, or a vase to lift high for claiming championship in your fantasy league, the Libby Factory Outlet Store has everything you need and more. Visit them down at the Warehouse District, 205 South Erie Street, two blocks from Fifth Third Field, four blocks from the Huntington Center. They are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the evening, Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Libby Factory Outlet, setting your table right for more than 100 years. And that is the plugs right there for all Andy Alford. And I want to close with what we are witnessing. You know, as we close all Andy Alford tonight, you know, respect is always given. It is earned. It's never given. My apologies on how to say it. You know, you pay your dues. You pay what you do the best that you can. You stick to what you know. You stick to know what you know. You stick to know what you know about everyday life. That's what I'm trying to say. And you work hard and you'll get rewarded. That's what we've always been told. Lately in my life, it's been more of the lines of, you know, get passed over. There's always somebody better. And I'm done with being that way. I've earned my respect. I've earned my time by doing this show, by doing my jobs, by doing my life. And it's coming to the stage this year. I've had so much fun with Amadeus. I have had so much fun doing these podcasts. And I've had so much fun in my life. It's only going to get better. That's why I keep telling myself it's only going to get better. So, stick with it. Everything's going to work out in the end. Plain and simple. That's going to wrap it up for All Andy Elford tonight, right here on the All Andy Elford Network. We'll be back on the air Thursday to recap the Masters, of course, preview the NHL playoffs, as well as recap the Jackets and give you the report card for the Blue Jackets for this upcoming season. Preview the Walleye playoff run. Also dive more into the Diamond with the Tigers, Guardians, and Reds, as well as the Mud Hens as well. And my favorite, of course, we will preview the Amadeus show, of course, which will happen next weekend. Get your tickets. Please come and see us. Support local theater. Support this great organization in the Toledo Rep, and support artists like myself and everybody in the crew to come and see this show. It is a fantastic show. Absolutely. Please come and I recommend it. Highly recommend it for a night out. Hell, if you want to do it this way. Show nights are at 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. Of course, the fish are at the bank tank, of course. But come see us Sunday. We're having the show Sunday. The fish are gone. The mud hens are going to be out of town. Come and see us. Oh, you will not want to miss this show. It is a fun show, a great cast, and a great story about Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. So until I talk to you guys next week, this is Andy Elford from the Man Cave Studios here in Toledo, Ohio, wishing you all the best. Enjoy the Masters this weekend. And remember, I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together. The game of life. Keep your stick on the ice. And to the teams you root for at home, and to my teams, go Jackets. 3 games left. Go Walleye. Get it done. Our fish, our fight. Go Tigers. Go Reds. Go Guardians. Go Hens. And more birdies, less bogeys. Because victory is sweetest when you have tasted defeat. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you guys next week for another edition of All Andy Elford. Love you, babe. Talk to you then. This has been a presentation of the All Andy Elford Network on the All Andy Elford Network. Whether it's been on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you listen to our show, wherever and whenever you listen to our podcast, thank you for tuning into the show. And always, you can be a part of our show by following us on X at All Andy Elford or on Facebook.com/AllAndyElford as we do our podcast live on Facebook Live. The show has been a presentation of the Spotify Podcast Network.